for you the following words: unkempt and disposed for your use. Think about the happiness we all have together. Go to the park. Go to the park today. Recline in the sunshine. Go skipping down the road, for Christ's sake. Take a walk. Run around in the freedom you have. Smile at someone. Be their friend or something. Be all fun. Be all friendly-like. You'll never come down with any disease. You're just a good person all around. Just be a nice guy. Think about all the positive things that you can do in the morning. You wake up, take a nice shower, get yourself good and clean. Go out and pick some apples. Go and wink at some babies or something. It's fun to be a person, isn't it? Such a nice day. Put on a blue shirt. A blue one works best. Go around. Pick some bananas from the corner market. Give them some money. Give this one some money. Yeah, do something good for yourself for a change. Walk up to somebody with a business suit on. Hand them a $5 bill and say, "Do you have my card?" Say it again. "Do you have my card?" You didn't say anything. Hand them another $5 bill. And this time, don't be so nice about it. And then smile at them and give them a banana. Then, walk around going, "Yay, yay, yay, yay. Yay, 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 yay." Take some yellow paint and slam it right into your nose. And go, "Oh, the colorfulness." Start smashing the subway railings with a hammer. Make sure you smile at someone while you do it. Do that for about an hour. Then walk around with a smile going, "Yay, yay, yay, yay. Yay, 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 yay." Then, you're ready for the big time. Go into a hardware store. With all the best intentions, it's still the morning. Everyone's in a good mood. You have any light bulbs here at this hardware store, man? You have any? Welcome, and I'll put them on the counter. Yeah, 60 watt. Yeah, that's good. 60 watt light bulbs. Whatever light bulbs they give you, just say, "Yeah, those are good. Give me those." And then say, "I'd really rather not pay for them, but I want them all the same." I'll probably start giving you some wine. I'll probably start saying, "Wait a second, pal. We can't give you these light bulbs without you paying for them, or some such." And say, "I want them all the same." And you gotta get real kind of tense. "I want them all the same. My lights are out. Tell them. My lights are out. I need them light bulbs, but I really prefer not to pay for them."
Mr. Gordon.
About this time, he'll probably call his manager. He may even pick up the phone to call the authorities. That's the perfect time. Pull out some clippers. Start cutting your hair off. Find a shovel. You'll remember now it's a hardware store. There's plenty of shovels in there. Start banging the shovel out together and saying, "You dig, you dig, you dig, you dig." Then say, "Can I have my light bulbs?" By then you're getting into some real chancy shit. Right about now, you've got a crowd gathering. They're keeping their distance from you, but they're gathering around all the same. And turn around and say, "It's a great day, isn't it? Come on, I just want some bulbs, man.
Come on, I just want some bulbs."
Then immediately run and jump through the picture window. Roll out into the street. Go down to the corner market and buy some more apples, man. Have a few and throw a few. You're just starting your odyssey, man. Take off your left shoe. That's it. Throw it as high as you can. Run around into the street and catch it. All the better if that black Cadillac hits you, man. Scream, "I'll sue now."
"I'll sue you,
then get up.
Fucker.
Say, "I'm just joking."
"I'm only kidding."
Don't go back into the hardware store. Grab that shovel. Start banging it on the counter yelling, "You dig, you dig, you dig, you dig." I actually tried this and it was great. It's the best day I ever had. It's a sunny, nice day. I took a nice shower. I was good and clean. Went outside, cut some yellow paint, splashed it on my nose, bought a few apples, bought a few bananas, went to the hardware store and said, "I'd like some light bulbs, please. But I'd really prefer not to pay for them." I'm telling you, just like it happened. And I suggest it to anyone who wants to have a good day. But before you do that, just think, what are they going to do? What are they going to do to you? They're going to be scared to death of you. Then I say, you've got them in the palm of your hand. Go to the next newsstand, you see. Buy a few magazines. That's right. Buy a few magazines. Say to the man behind the counter, "I'm going to read all 10 of these magazines. And when I bring them back, I want my money back." They'll kind of nod and look kind of perplexed. They'll say, no. And they won't really want to sell them to you. They'll say, "Hey, come on. Who on the street has come up to you and wanted to buy 10 magazines today?" And they'll say, I must keep them. What's up, such?" And as soon as you get them, burn them. Light them on fire right on the sidewalk. Dance around like an Indian. Dance around the flaming magazines. Then go back into the hardware store. Now you're really ramped up. Kick in the counter, knock everything over. Run around. I'm a mad Indian. I'm crazy. Get away from me. The best part is when the police come. see you use your gun, pal. Now place a train to handle your kind of evil. They'll probably call for a backup. It works really good if you kind of like foam at the mouth. They get this concerned look. They'll start pushing innocent passersby back out of the way. But you're free. They may even pull a gun on you. When they do, say, that's it, copper! Shoot me, man! Shoot me now! Now the day is really starting to cook. Now you're really getting into it. I did this once. This is a great day. Tell him. Tell the cop. Tell him right to his face. Oh, come on, officer! I just had a little too much to drink, or some such. What are you gonna do, shoot me? Nice badge, sir! Did you shine that all by yourself? Why do they make you wear those navy blue outfits in the heat of the sun anyway? They hate it when you say that. By now you'll know that in the crowd that's around you, you've got some friends. There are people there who are probably laughing at this point. They're your friends. The people who are looking at you in shocked astonishment, they're not your friends. You need to engulf the help of all the people laughing and shut away. Shut away the people with those shocked astonishment on their face.
Why?
Because they're not your friends. Say to the first one you see laughing, oh, kindred spirit. You're mine, Pearl. Invite him out into the ring. Invite him to join you.
Come on,
he'll probably look away. They'll probably try to avoid eye contact. People aren't scared of the cops in that sort of way. But when I did this, I did get two people to join me. One of them did a few cartwheels and then started beating his head up with some sandpaper. The other one grabbed his light bulb and started smashing them against the wall. It was a theatrical concert of insanity. Now you're really cooking. Now the day has really started to happen. I did this once. It was the best day I ever had. I was a regal presence there. Then I dropped it off. I stood up calmly. I stood up like a real New Yorker. I said,
Is there some problem, officer? Exactly what did I do wrong?
They'll probably start citing something about vandalizing. Something about disturbing the peace. Probably about endangering the lives of people around you. That's what you say. Prove it, man.
Prove it. I did nothing wrong, copper.
That's when you run for it. Run for it right through the door. Out into the street. Take your left shoe off and throw it into the air. Buy some apples, man. Eat some. Throw some. Then run down the street. Bash your head into the first picture window. Then you go into Macy's. Once inside Macy's, walk up to the first salesperson who's trying to spray perfume on you. Can I try that perfume, please? Try to control yourself. You've had a very, very good day so far, but it's only really just begun. Can I have some perfume, please? Say something like, I'd like to buy some perfume for my wife's anniversary, please. That's the good line. They're really willing to help. They know they got you then. They think they've got you. They don't really got you, but they think they do. And then you say, is that perfume flammable? And they'll look at you. And they'll say, no, it's not. As if they think you're worried that it's flammable. They don't know that you want it to be as flammable as you want it to be. You want it to be inflammable. No, I'd like to fill up a gas truck with that perfume. How many bottles would I have to buy to fill up a gas truck? They'll really not understand that. That's when you have to be prepared. That's when you have to be prepared for them to call the authorities or the manager. Say, give me all the bottles of that perfume you have!
Give me all the bottles of that perfume you have!
Give me it all! Start waving $100 bills around. Give me it all! I'll take it all! Oh, what a sale. Oh, the commissions I'll make. But then, what is he going to do with a gas truck full of perfume? They're not going to understand. But I think they're going to sell it to you.
If you don't sell it to me,
I'm going to go find a salesperson that will. I'm going to go around here and find somebody who will sell me 75,000 bottles of perfume! I got the money! Do you want to make the sale or not? They'll usually give in at that point. They usually give up. I'd like 75,000 bottles of that perfume. And I really like some large vats that I can carry it out in. I don't need the glass at all. In fact, you can keep the glass if you just give me the perfume and some large vats. You got any wheelbarrows in the storeroom? Come on, let's fill them up. I got a swimming pool at home. That's it. That's all right. You tell them you got a swimming pool. And for your wife's anniversary, you want to fill their swimming pool with a whole bunch of her favorite perfume. But you don't want to fill your swimming pool at all. You want to fill a gas truck. You want to take the truck out onto the New Jersey Turnpike and smash it into the toll booth. After they start filling wheelbarrows, say, you got a hardware section in this store? I say, yes, but don't you want your perfume? We're slowly dumping all the bottles into the wheelbarrows, into the vats, so you can take them down to your wife's swimming pool. They really believe you want to fill up your swimming pool with this stuff. Say, I want to buy all the saws you got.
I want to buy all the saws you got.
I'm in a band, see? That's what you tell them. I'm in a band, and we play the saws. You know, you seen it? Remember on the old Ed Sullivan show, they used to play the saws? They make that kind of waspy sound? At this point, you've got them. Make sure your friend has a gas truck parked outside. Oh, please, just put the perfume in the gas tank for me. You hired your friend to drive the truck into the toll booth on the New Jersey Turnpike. He's off on that task, but your day has really only just begun. This is what I did one day. It's the best day I ever had. Remember those ducks up in a pond, up in the park? That's where you're going next. When you get to the park, some of the ducks will be in the water. Some of the ducks will be on the land. Make sure you stop at the nearest Balducci's and buy some bread. You want to feed the ducks. It's a beautiful day, and you're in the park, enjoying life, feeding the ducks. Sooner or later, one of those ducks will get a little bold. One of those ducks will come north towards you. Try to contain the urge. Try not to break into the mad Indian thing right then. Just be calm. Here, little duck.
Here, little duck. Would you like some bread, little duck? They'll begin to trust you. You cannot. Please, please do not break into the mad Indian thing. The urge will be there. Bend down.
Then grab one of the ducks by one of his little orange red feet. Swing around the head and throw him up in the air. He'll swing. All of his friends will run away. You've won. You've won.
Throw nothing back. You know it. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I wake you up? I didn't mean to startle you. But as long as you're awake, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, how are ya? This is your old pal KBC with yet another edition of the Bit Slap. And today, kind of a sad occasion, we're going to be paying tribute to the late letter B. As you may know, the letter B, along with Q and W, were laid off of the alphabet in a cost-cutting measure by the Republican Congress. President's behind it, though. He says, you know what? I'm going to change my name to Iraq Yo Mama. But in an amusing sidelight, the letter B actually was despondent and jumped off a building. We're going to miss you, B. But we started off with The Best Day I Ever Had by the Flying Shelsons. Flying Shelsons were 1J Wasco from a band called Johnny Skillsaw, if you remember them. I certainly don't. His claim to fame seems to be that he invented something called the Egotar, which is a bass guitar and a slide guitar in one unit. I've seen pictures of it, but I can't really explain it, so why don't you go look at it? It's at www.jaysmuseum.com/egotar. Jay is also from the New York City area, and is also responsible for that tender love ballad, The Execution of Mr. Met. After that, Boogie Till You Puke from Root Boy Slim and the Sex Change Band. Now, Root Boy, there's a story. He was born as Foster McKenzie III, I believe somewhere around the D.C. area, and went to Yale University, and was in the very same fraternity as our old pal George W. Bush. That's right, they were housemates in Delta Kappa Epsilon. And after graduation, old Root Boy went back, and fraternity president Bush threw him right out of the house and banned him from the house once and for all. Slim later took some LSD and climbed over the White House fence, where he was arrested and sent off to St. Elizabeth's Hospital, where I suppose he honed his musical talents, which were discovered by Mr. Donald Fagen, who connected him with his Steely Dan producer Gary Katz, and of course the rest is history. Following that, Paleface and Burn and Rob, one of a couple of different versions of that song. Paleface, whose name I could not discover, is a New York City product. Learned how to write songs from none other than Daniel Johnston, and was longtime friends and roommates of Beck. He's still at it nowadays. He's out playing a lot with his girlfriend and longtime drummer Monica Samalot. And you can look him up at palefaceonline.com. And we also heard from Liz Phair and Material Issues, the Banana Splits theme. One banana, two bananas. One of the funniest cartoons I can remember. Hanna-Barbera's first kind of foray into the live-action milieu, as it were. Featured cartoon characters running around in the world of real people. And that was from an album called Cartoons Greatest Hits in 1995. Liz Phair and Material Issue are both from the Chicago area and longtime friends, so this seemed like a natural for them. So, join me as we mourn the letter B. And we have more B's coming up. And I will talk to you about them soon. So you just stay tuned.
To get what you want, But success takes time, my friend. So don't be impatient. Stick with me, and you'll get it in the end. If you should meet a pretty miss, the kind of miss you'd like to kiss, take my advice and don't give her a tumble. Don't start to make a play until I give her my okay. Be humble.
One and all. ever since they created man. He has pleased his woman as best he can, but I find that the woman are only true for the man who give them the big bamboo. For the big bamboo, it grows good and long. The big bamboo, it grows always strong. The big bamboo stand up straight and tall, and the big bamboo pleases one and all.
Hello, Jack. How are you? Gee, it's a great day for the game, isn't it, huh? I wouldn't have missed it for the world. I just say not. Am I late? The seventh. Is it the seventh inning? What do you think of that? Oh, I wouldn't have missed any part of it. I should say not. Why, it's a bully day. Is it certainly going to be one game? I know every player on the field.
Play ball.
What a voice on that umpire. That's a normal thing, a voice like that. Oh, I do hate to go to a game when I don't like the umpire. It certainly upsets me.
One strike.
That was no strike. That was no strike at all. I was looking right at the plate over there when it happened, and it was no strike. Don't tell me what a strike is. I know a strike when I see it the same as you do. I know a strike when I see it the same as anybody else. I come to the game looking at the game the same as anybody else. I have my opinion the same as anybody else. And I'll express it the same as anybody else. Get that right now. What do you think I come here for, Jack? To listen to you talk about it all the time? Are you such an expert authority on the subject? Is that the idea? Oh, I reckon they write books about you. I don't doubt it at all. Mr. Opinion. I never knew a man with so many opinions in all my life. You have more opinions than Roosevelt. Positively more. When there's a wedding, you think you're the bride, and when there's a funeral, you think you're the corpse. Say so. Come here and give an argument all the time. Every little point, have to have an argument. You come here to the game, and you think it's a strike, and I come here to the game, and I think it's no strike. What are we going to do about it? Let the game go on. It was no strike. Satisfies me. Two strikes, right off the reel. Two strikes. What do you think of that? Two strikes. After all that talk, wouldn't that make you sick? What the hell? He hit it. He hit it. Don't be gazing after it. Don't be gazing after it. Why must you look? Run. That's the thing to do. You don't have to look after it, do you? Must you run? Will you please go to first? Where are you going? You're going backwards. Go on to first, will you? First is the place. First. Say you're a bow-legged runner. Go to first, will you? Oh, it's a foul. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? First thing, a foul. Had to be a foul, of course, first thing. Suddenly you don't see any feathers flying. Yeah, I dare. This is a pink nine. That's your answer on this facetious day. You can't...
One strike.
There's another strike. Is that what's going to happen, your strike? The umpire makes me sick. Yes, he does. Would you mind telling me what kind of language that is, please? Stretcher. He's a fine umpire. Stretcher. He don't care what he does to the King's English, does he? He'll be saying, scree I ice next. You can expect anything from that kind of an umpire. He makes me... Oh, he hit it a crack out time, didn't he? And it's a good one, too. Don't be afraid this time, it's a good one. Don't be afraid. Don't stop at first. Come on a second now. You got a lot of time. You got a lot of time. Come on a second. Come on to second. Come on to... Come on. Hey, are you tied to first? What's the matter with you? Are you tied there? Come on a second one, don't you? Come on a second. Slide. Will you please slide? Slap. Slap. Oh, he's out. What do you think of that? Why didn't the fool hang on to first? That's the only thing to do. He's a fine runner. Runs like a sausage. What kind of a player is he anyway, giving up a good hit like that? Wasn't that a wallop? I will say wallop. Then I don't want to be a lady if I can't say wallop. Have my speech curtailed in an innocent manner. Bad enough to go to a ball game, but they don't have any but strikes all the time.
One strike.
Is this a union of some kind here? Does everybody strike? We're in the wrong place. It's the car barn. The umpire makes me sick. I will talk about him. It says on the back of your ticket, you can roast the umpire. He has no friends. You don't understand baseball or any of its possibilities. Jack, I don't understand what you come to a game for. You waste your time coming here. You sit like a no-man.
One ball!
That ain't so bad, is it? Gee, they call the ball and the pitcher left. At the turn of the tide, it always happens after that. You watch it. This man on second will get in. Something could always happen when they...
It happens.
What's the use of the ball if you're going to have a strike right on top of it? What's the use? Does it help your score? Does it improve your temper? It's a fine team. You take it from me. They ought to be off playing tiddlywink. Listen to three eye-eyes and strike her. No. Oh, that's a lollapalooza this time. Look at that, will you? Oh, that's a piece. That's a piffin. All around the diamond. All around. Make it a home run. They haven't got the ball yet. All around. All. Look at him saying his prayers on second. Praying on second. Come on in. Come on. You're not going to heaven this year. All around. Come home, you rummy. Come home. Great. Immense. Home run. Ah, what do you think of that? Oh, that's immense.
Batter digs in. Pitcher's all set to work. Around comes the right arm. In comes a curveball that's swung on. Measures the line drive out of the first base. It's curving. Mello, fair ball. And the batter pulls up at second.
Ball. And the runs another first base on ball.
I sure like peanuts. Hurts. Go, man, go! Strike! You know. Baseball park fun, Dad. Baseball park fun, Dad.
Baseball park fun, Dad!
See that bear lapping up that good old country water? Sure makes a big hairy guy like me thirsty. That's when I wrap my lips around a tall, sweaty, edible bottle of good old country Bear Whiz beer. As my daddy said, son, it's in the water. That's why it's yellow. Bear Whiz beer.
Bear Whiz beer, liquid product of Andrew Bearwood's Brewery, Animal, Missouri.
On a sweet young grasshopper, wit and the fly did the cha-cha. A ladybug sloppy with a big cucaracha. A loud note of butterfly, a baby. Holding green on it. Said when the thing floats, I just got to get on it. And you ain't seen nothing till you see me so naughty.
Dancing the pudding wall. Big bug,
yeah.
Little bug,
what?
Big bug,
yeah.
Little bug
in the kitchen.
Big bug
in the hall.
Little bug
in the wall.
Big bug
having a ball.
Big bug
in the twist.
Big bug
on my head.
All right, that's enough. Settle down, guys. All right, you're listening on the Bit Slap as we pay tribute to the late Letter B, who, as you heard, in a fit of despondency, took a bail out of a building. Bummer. Over the loss of its spot in the alphabet. Damn this economy. We started with Be Humble, from U, Melody, and his orchestra, who was actually Tony Borello. Tony, known for his song There's a New Sound, The Sound of Worms, which was actually covered by the Muppets. Imagine that. That was on Horrible Records. And this is a record that Irwin and I got. We made the trek out to Kearney to meet his widow and his daughter. And they gave us a bunch of records to record and to hold on to for them. And this was one of them. After that, the Fugs and Boobs a Lot. Fugs were Thule Kupferberg, Ed Sanders, Ken Weaver, Peter Stample, and Steve Weber. Stample and Weber also were the makeup of the Holy Modal Rounders, who also did this song. Fugs were kind of like linchpins of the New York folk scene in the 60s and were out front in the anti-Woodstock celebration in 1994. After that, the Duke of Iron and Big Bamboo. Duke of Iron was Cecil Anderson from Trinidad. Found his way to New York in the 20s and became the King of Calypso. And starred in the 1957 film Calypso Joe with Angie Dickinson. After that, the Baseball Girl from Ray Cox. I couldn't tell you anything about that. Followed by Pink Holes. Les Black's amazing Pink Holes. And that was Baseball Park Fun from Cleveland, where baseball is anything but fun, off an album called Breakfast with the Holes. And one of the members, Bob Ritchie, who also goes under the name of Kurt Turd, his mom, Laverne, was with the Ponytails. They were one-hit wonders responsible for Born Too Late. After that, a word from Bear Wiz Beer. And you can find Bear Wiz Beer t-shirts at eagletshirts.com. I'm not kidding, folks. Following that, the Pumpkin Uglies, the Little Pumpkin Uglies, and Boris the Spider from an album called Rock in the Graveyard. And then one of my favorites, the Baltic Waltz. I always get a little choked up about the Baltic Waltz. That was a flip side of a single from the Coasters in 1962, ATCO number 6251. Coasters used to be Carl Gardner and the Coasters. But now look at them. They're big shots now. And speaking of big shots, KBC here. A long way to go before I get to be a big shot, but you can help. You can contact me at kbcradio@hotmail.com. If you have any comments, suggestions, questions, corrections, you know, anything, anything. kbcradio@hotmail.com. Okay, so more tribute to the Letter B, who left us way too soon. Hang in there. Try to get through it. You can do this.
Sunshine, no one can change my mind now. No one will ever force me to sleep away the morning hour. Oh, I like my waffles toasty. I like my coffee steaming. I like my OJ ice cold. I like my morning paper too bad. I cannot eat it too bad. I like to read it, maybe. I'll just clip coupons, maybe. I'll go out shopping. There's such a wide selection. Something for everybody to view. A breakfast morning's too few. I like my grapefruit slice, please. I like bananas too, please. Hash browns will not upset me. Sliced ham shall elevate me. Poached eggs, a toast is lovely. Thank you. I really need it. Won't you wake up and join me? Won't you wake up and shout out these last? The salt and pepper now. Oh, I like my eggs and sausage. I like my toast with jelly. I like my angel oatmeal. I like my crispy bread flakes. I like my breakfast boozer. I like my breakfast boozer. I like to wake each morning. I like to rise in sunshine. No one can change my mind now. No one will ever force me to sleep away the morning hour.
This is the story of Bernie the Toaster. Bernie was a kitchen toaster. He was just like any other toaster, except that he wanted to be Johnny Cash. He lived in the kitchen of the Baxley's house in Luger Heights, a small suburb of Cleveland. Every morning the Baxley's ate their breakfast, and Mrs. Baxley complained about the weather, Junior Baxley complained about school, and Mr. Baxley ignored them both. Bernie would sing,
"I hear that train a-coming,"
while he made their Wonder Bread slices nice and brown. Lately, though, he'd become so involved in singing that he would forget to push the toast back up on time, and it would burn because he was too busy singing,
"Because you're mine, I'll walk the line."
One day he heard Mr. Baxley say, "If that no-good toaster burns one more piece of toast, we're gonna get rid of it." And Bernie thought to himself, "Huh, nobody ever says nothing like that to Johnny and gets away with it, Hoss." And he burned the last piece of Raisin Toast in the whole house. That night, after the family was in bed, Bernie was singing A Boy Named Sue, and the wise old blender spoke up. He said,
"You better look out. I remember the can opener that wanted to sell Amway. She quit even trying to work, so they put her outside on a yard sale. Nobody bought her. A big rain came along, and she died a slow, rusty death out on the picnic table."
Even though this made Bernie mad, he knew that all the other appliances respected the wise old blender. So he decided to heed his advice and concentrate real hard on toasting. All was fine except for every now and then when he and the disposal would sing the duet on Jackson late at night when no one else was around. One morning after Bernie had been toasting perfectly for almost 3 months, Mr. Baxley said,
"Gosh, this toaster really is the best one we've ever had after all, and I'm going to write that toaster manufacturer and tell them so."
And Bernie thought to himself,
"Well, I don't care if I do, die, do, die, do."
When the toaster company got the letter from Mr. Baxley, they were real excited and decided they would use Mr. Baxley, his toaster, and a special guest celebrity for their next commercial. Bernie and Mr. Baxley took the plane to New York, And in the baggage compartment, Bernie struck up a friendship with a cute little walk that was being sent to an overweight insurance executive in New Jersey from his health-conscious relatives out in California. Bernie and Mr. Baxley got to the big studio, and wow, the set looked just like their kitchen back in Luger Heights. Everyone was there except for the guest celebrity. Suddenly, the stage door opened, and a deep voice announced, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." Yes, he was the guest celebrity, and Bernie's filaments glowed with happiness, and he wanted to shout. But of course he couldn't because he was a toaster. They did the commercial, and Bernie cooked the best English muffin anyone had ever seen. And when it was over, Mr. Baxley told Johnny Cash, "You're my favorite singer, and as a token of my appreciation, I'd like for you to have this here toaster." When Johnny said, "Thanks, Hoss, I need a new toaster," Bernie almost cried tears of joy, but he didn't want to rust or blow a fuse, so he didn't. He secretly waved goodbye to Mr. Baxley, and it was on to Nashville Music City, home of Johnny Cash, and now Bernie the Toaster, U.S. of good old A. Johnny put Bernie on the big breakfast table next to the salt and pepper shakers and across from a napkin holder named Mavis. Every morning, Johnny would sit at the breakfast table, and Bernie would cook him some Pop-Tarts, which Johnny liked better than toast, with his strawberry coating melted and the corners just starting to burn. Johnny would eat the crust first, then bite off the corners, and finally make mush balls in his mouth with the gooey little stuff in the middle. After a while, though, Bernie began to see that being Johnny Cash wasn't always fun. Having to travel, singing the same old songs, and occasionally having people write mean things about you in the National Enquirer. On mornings like this, Johnny would sit at the table, and he'd hum a sad song, and Bernie, Mavis, and the Salt and Pepper Shakers would harmonize, kind of like the Jordanaires. And even though Johnny couldn't hear them, he'd eat his Pop-Tarts and get up from the table feeling better. One night, Bernie was talking to Mavis, and he said, "Well, this is okay, but I still wish I was a singer instead of just a dumb old toaster." And Mavis just smiled, which is hard for a plastic napkin holder to do, and he said,
"You're not a dumb toaster. You're a very important part of the appliance world. Because if you didn't fix good Pop-Tarts, Johnny might get in a bad mood, and he might go to the concert and sing lousy, and then the people would get mad, and maybe they'd leave the concert and drive home fast and honk at each other, and then the policeman might pull one of them over for driving too fast, and he might call the policeman a name, and, well, I think you get the point. So don't ever think of yourself as just a dumb old toaster, because you're Bernie, personal toaster to Johnny Cash."
And from that day on, Bernie knew that he was very special and had a place in the appliance world. And he and Mavis and the Salt and Pepper Shakers all did their parts. Johnny Cash still made mush balls in his mouth out of the gooey Pop-Tart fillings. And they all lived happily ever after. So just remember, do your best at what you do best. Don't try to be something you weren't meant to be. And never forget that behind every great country singer, there's a hard-working, dedicated toaster. The end.
Morning wine.
magical mystery tour. Three inside with blood red rose, one death black makes four. Song lyrics are important, in fact they say it all. At the end of Strawberry Field, John says I bury Paul. Four men on the front of Abbey Road, cross a London street. The first in white, the next in black, the third no shoes on feet. A cigarette is dangling from the right hand of the dead. McCartney was left-handed, so everyone has said, these are just a few things that I have found. She's somewhere,
the West with a star on his chest, and he tried his best to make it stay. In the heat of the day, 10 stars won't stick to clay, but what the hay, he rode on anyway. It was Gumby. It was a hell of a gun, but the hot midday sun was a burning, dirty and mean. And it's harder to shoot when your gun's hot to boot and your hand's custom green plasticine like Gumby is. Well, word got around when he rode into town, and soon it spread to the local saloon. And the message was clear when it got to the ear of a bad guy named Soggy Lagoon. Now the goon was so tough he chewed cactus and stuff and used a rattlesnake bullwhip for floss. He wasn't intimidated by anyone animated, and he aimed to show Gumby who's boss. He aimed to show Gumby. I hear you got feet of clay, Gumby heard Lagoon Bray. I hear you're putty, you're soft, and what's more? I'll flatten you, said Lagoon, and say, Marshall Cartoon, that's the dumbest looking horse I ever saw. And the whole saloon started to roar.
That little green Gumby.
You can laugh and joke, Gumby smiled as he spoke, but don't you pick on my pony pal Pokey. Lagoon jumped to his feet, said, meet me out in the street. Gumby obliged with a curt okie dokie. In that hot, dusty town, folks gathered around, for about to take place was a showdown. 60 paces away stood the marshal of clay, who Lagoon was a-fixin' to mow down. It was Gumby. Now Lagoon looked real mean, and Gumby, well, green on the scene of that duel in the sun. But not to be beaten, Lagoon took to cheating, and before the word draw, drew his gun on Little Green Gumby. was struck silent by the action so violent as Gumby fell to the dusty old street. The only sound for miles around.
Hey guys, could you keep it down?
Was the love dog of a tiny clay heartbeat. It was Gumby's. The folks turned toward Lagoon, and in a huddle they soon ran him clear out of town on a pole. And though they were trying, the kids couldn't stop crying, because in Gumby's 10-gallon hat was a big bullet hole.
Little green Gumby.
But then up something popped and the crying just stopped, and as the dust settled there in the street, like a bad episode from the Twilight Zone, it was Gumby back on his feet. Gumby coughed a tiny cough, then he dusted himself off and said, "Folks, I'm really okay. Lagoon missed me today, his shot went this-a-way, but my hip slopes that-a-way. Yeah.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Hobbits are peace-loving folks, you know. They're never in a hurry and they take things slow. They don't like to travel away from home. They just like to eat and be left alone. But one day Bilbo was asked to go on a big adventure to the caves below to help some dwarves get back their gold that was stolen by a dragon in the days of old. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Well, he fought with the goblins, he battled a troll, he riddled with Gollum, a magic ring he stole. He was chased by wolves, lost in the forest, escaped in a barrel from the Elf King's halls. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Now he's back in his home in the land of Shire, that brave little hobbit whom we all admire, just sitting on a treasure of silver and gold, a puffing on his pipe in his hobbit hole. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall.
Remember what you've been told. He'll hold out
the chairman said, baby, he's a bebopper to his soul.
Cluck, 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 said the little red hen, let's boogie in the barnyard. Yes, the barnyard was jumping, everybody having their fling. Even old MacDonald had to do a little corny swing. Bow Wow said the dog in the circus, stop me, I said the cat, now please don't stop. Cluck, 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 said the little red hen, let's boogie in the barnyard.
Make way for the guy with the microphone. Here he comes again. Look out. Yeah, it's me, all right. And we have more information for you here as we continue our tribute to the late Letter B. We started that one out with Breakfast, which you should do every day, of course. And that was allegedly Stinky and the Spuds, but the more I research them, the more I think that maybe that really wasn't them at all, that I just have it written down wrong somewhere. I'm not sure. After that, Bernie the Toaster from the Reverend Billy C. Wirtz. Billy is a real reverend. He can perform weddings and stuff like that. He's in charge of the first house of polyester worship in Cocoa Beach, Florida. Originally from Aiken, South Carolina, and his album Backslider's Tractor Pull won an award for Best Comedy Album of the Year, so you know it must be really freaking funny. After that, the Ballad of Paul from the Mystery Tour. You can dig that up on an album called Flabby Road. 26 Beatle novelty songs, as if one wasn't enough. And you can find out all about that Paul is Dead thing at ludix.com/Moriarty/Paul. And the guy will convince you, I swear. Just like he convinced me. Poor Paul. After that, the Ballad of Gumby from Mr. Rick Shulman from the Green Album, a tribute to Gumby and Pokey in 1989. After that, Leonard Nimoy. You remember him, right? Mr. Spock, of course. Bilbo Baggins from the lowly acclaimed album Highly Illogical. Leonard appeared on The Man from U.N.C.L.E. once with Mr. William Shatner back in 1964 in the Project Strigus affair. Leonard replaced Martin Landau on Mission Impossible. And oddly enough, Martin Landau was the early choice for Spock. And, of course, you all remember the In Search Of series. That's where Leonard kind of hit his low point when he did the show In Search Of Good Mugu Gaipan. And he'll be featured in the new Star Trek movie coming out any minute now. After that, Bebopper from the Gordons and Hank Jones Trio. Hank Jones, Charles Mingus, and Max Roach recorded April 29th of 1953. So, yeah, look this stuff up for you. The Gordons were Honey Gordon, George Gordon, George Gordon Jr., and Richard Gordon. How about that for a surprise, huh? And that came from the Beat Generation set by Rhino Records. And then the Bebopper's Christmas from Cordell Jackson on Moon Records. Cordell was the first woman to produce, engineer, arrange, and promote her own music on her own label in Nashville. She died in 2004. And maybe her best moment appeared in a Bud Light commercial where she comes up and interrupts Brian Setzer during some kind of a rehearsal and really shows him what to do to play guitar. Look her up on YouTube, Cordell Jackson. She's really cool. And then the Barnyard Boogie from Mr. Louis Jordan. Louis, born in 1908, was really the father of rock and roll. I don't care what anybody says. Learned music from his father, who was the leader of the Rabbit's Foot Minstrels. who were the springboard for many leading African-American musicians and entertainers like Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith, Butterbeans and Susie, Big Joe Williams, Rufus Thomas. Louis died of a heart attack in 1975, and the music world hasn't been the same since. So, okay, that's going to be it for me this week. Really sorry about the letter B, but I want you to be strong. You can do this. You can get through this whole thing. Sad as it may be, there are other letters in the alphabet, and you can always use the letter P, all right? So I'll see you next week with more stuff. I don't know what yet, but we'll be there, and here comes your mystery tune. I hope you can handle it. I'll see you next week. Be good. Bye-bye.
TV series about me. You think if I was alive, the person I'd contact would be Gail Brewer Giorgio? Jesus, man, who the hell is Gail Brewer Giorgio? And another thing, John Lennon wants to know why nobody thinks he's still alive. Buddy Holly, too.
Baby, I'm dead. Don't believe the magazines in the store.
Folks, man, just let me be dead and leave me alone. Why don't you go looking for Babe Ruth? Maybe he's alive. Hell, Nat King Cole just made a song. Maybe he's still alive. Look for him. Just let me go, man. I'm dead. I think there's lots of people that you can look for and see if they're alive. One of them isn't me, man. Why don't you look for Bill Bixby?